Shalom, and welcome to a brand new series here on the Way of Consciousness Radio Network. I'm Father Brian Rice, returning to you after a period of exile. Let's just call it that. Why am I back? Why am I here? What's this all about? We're here to chronicle stories of empowerment, stories of hope, things that uplift us, things that make us soar, things that make us and allow us to win at the game of life. There's a high price for victory in this life, a high price for each battle we wage every day, whether it's bacteriological, spiritual, mental, physical, psychological, or relationship-wise. We do have to admit we have daily battles. We do have to admit that we become vulnerable and that we are limited yet finite. And that is the challenge, is rising to the occasion and having breakthrough moments. I'm here to tell you that anything is possible with willpower, courage, love, realization, radical self-honesty. Join me tonight as we talk about courage. This is Turning Points and Transformations. When will you have your breakthrough? Well, hello, good evening. Welcome, everybody. And I'm Father Brian Rice. I came in this night, tonight, with mental block, big mental block, and so I don't know what's going to come out tonight. All day I just sat down and I had the whole house to myself, and I said, I'm going to write, I'm going to script out, and it's going to be perfect. It doesn't work that way. If the spirit's not flowing, it's not flowing. You can't force it, certainly not. And I have to admit, I was just joking in the introduction, saying that I was in exile. We make our own exiles. You know, there's no God that puts us there. I just, in a roundabout way of saying it, that I took a hiatus, and I had to attend to some things. I had to minister to people that, in a way that I never thought or dreamed of being able to do that. And that's one of the reasons I decided to talk about courage tonight. Because it's been about a year and a few months since I was ordained to the sacred priesthood, and I think back upon this year, and it's definitely been a tough one. My wife and I have been out of work. We had taken care of my father-in-law, her father, and walked a journey of seeing him deteriorate and seeing him become increasingly in despair. And I think that's a common thing, and many of us, we see it. We see so much suffering around us, and the only thing that makes life bearable are the people who are the grace, the people in our lives who are the presence of God, the people who are there to uplift us when we're feeling down, even sorry for ourselves. This life is hard. Father Richard Rohr puts that in one of his main principles for men in the book Adam's Return. And I remember that, and I've had a lot of male figures in my life challenge me to, you know, I was a sports athlete in high school, and, you know, Eye of the Tiger thing, fight through it, Rocky's the hero, you know, the hero archetype, the warrior archetype, be a fighter, don't give up. Well, it's easy on the spiritual journey to have the highs and lows, or at least to fall into despair and to lose hope at times. And that, if we don't, we're not human. and we were created and we are incarnate. We don't live in the sky. We're not celestial beings, although we come from a, let's say, a celestial place. And, you know, what's really at the core of what I wanted to say tonight, you know, I think back upon this year and nothing worked out the way I thought it would. Not for me, not for my family. And I think of moments where I was able to rise to the occasion. And I've had several breakthrough moments, and that's one of the reasons I'm doing this show, is because I want to encourage other people to reflect upon their breakthrough moments in their lives, because we've all had them. You know, I've been blessed. I've been blessed with deep mystical experiences, God communion, and just feeling loved, overwhelmingly loved. But on the path, we forget, and we need to remember. We need to remember our primal oneness with God, our primal unitive relationship, that first relationship that existed from the beginning of time. I firmly believe that we are pre-existent, that we come into this life, or this life, or however many lives you believe we live. I believe that we already are. We were imagined, illuminated, we were radiated, we were formed, and then we become incarnate, and we materialize. And when we do that, we take on a big responsibility, and that's to be stewards of the earth and to take care of Mother Earth and all things in it, because ultimately she does that for us. And yes, the male principle is not being pushed to the side, the masculine principle of God, the Father. Father image is very present in my life. I know for each of us, it's different. Our God images in the beginning of life are either our parents or our caregivers, and those are our first God images, and it's very easy to have distorted views of God, of the divine. It's very easy to mistrust and to project onto God. People throughout time have done it. Our ancestors have done it. Our Judeo-Christian heritage has done it, even in our own times. You know, when things get tough, we tend to scapegoat. We tend to point the finger. We tend to blame our egos, that is, not our real selves. Our real selves are above that. Our real selves are, we are part of what's called big mind. The little mind and the little story of the ego, that's entertaining for a little while. But for lasting change and transformation, deep down in our hearts, we know that's not who we are. When we realize that we've been fooling ourselves and fooling other people, it's very liberating. It's very liberating to realize that you're full of it. You know what? And you've been full of it. And I had one of those moments yesterday. It was a rainy day, and it was just the most majestic thing I could I remember having seen in so long. Literally, a small portion of the sky opened up, and sun came down through, straight down through. And I looked up into the sun, and it reminded me of when Yeshua Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and what was heard by John the Baptist about Yeshua Jesus being his beloved son. You know, I think the reason so many of us suffer, so many of us lose hope, is because we don't feel, or we're not convinced, or the ways that we've defined love aren't good enough, aren't long-lasting, they don't penetrate as deeply into the cavity of the heart the heart space. What we're ultimately longing for is intimacy. And it can be through another person, through a family member, through someone you minister to. But I think until you've shared vulnerability with somebody else, you're not able to truly be intimate. And if you can't be intimate with a person comfortably and with yourself, then you're going to have a hard time being intimate with the divine. And 11 years ago, I had this overwhelming experience, which is, we don't have enough time for me to go into it, and it's, I don't want to focus on that. You know, I've had the glimpse, I've had the taste of nectar, the divine, and we all have. We've all experienced the divine in our own ways, and it can't be refuted. So, what's the point of this? We have to dig deep. We have to dig deep sometimes. We have to go within. It's scary to do that, but we have to go within. And when we go within, we find a whole new territory, terrain, undiscovered. You know, I mean, there's the solar system and the universe that is ever expansive. It's just mind smashing. It's mind blowing. It blows my mind. And in conversations with people in the past year, I've come to reflect upon the expansiveness of God. And why couldn't God, or the divine, continuously be expanding and evolving as we evolve in our consciousness and in our being? We've been taught in more conservative circles that God doesn't change. Well, I don't believe God is a mood. And I think many of you would agree with me. I always had a problem with the whole notion of God being a jealous God. Because jealousy to me seems like such a strong human emotion that it just doesn't seem possible for God to feel that. Now, there's other ways to interpret it. I know that. And I don't want to get into semantics, or I don't want to get into biblical quotes, for instance, or any scriptural quotes for that reason, or for that matter. I wanted to start off the series on a positive note and say that, you know, if you've been to rock bottom, I've been there too, and it's really possible to reemerge from it. In the Roman Catholic world, they call it the Paschal Mystery. As an apostolic sacramental priest, I believe in it myself. It's the pattern in life. It's the pattern in nature. It's a universal law, I think. I don't think it may, whether or not it's built in or was designed that way, who knows? It's a mystery. That's why it's called the Paschal Mystery. It's because we can't really explain it. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And that Christ presence comes within us in ways sometimes disguised, in ways sometimes that aren't totally blatant and obvious. Christ came to me as Bob Frasca, the man who I gave spiritual care to every night for the last 6 to 8 months of his life. And definitely during his last 2 to 3 years, or 2 to 3 months. And didn't matter what vestments I wore, how many masses I said up until that point, or anything I had done, I didn't understand the true nature of what it meant to serve, what it meant to be in the office of priest. Until I played that role with Bob. And God rest his soul, rest in peace, Bob. You helped make me the man I am today. And I didn't just provide spiritual care for him. I allowed myself to be vulnerable. He allowed himself to be vulnerable. And I was able to provide personal care for him. You know, he wasn't my own flesh and blood, but I lived with him for 7 years. A little more than 7 years. And you grow to know a person when you live with them and you see them every day. And you make the sacrifice. You make the sacrifice for the ones you love. And you can become courageous and fearless when love presents itself, when love is all there is, when all the obstacles to love are removed, and you see through the lens, a clear lens, that love is the only real thing there is. You know, I often wonder why some of the hurdles that I've been presented with come into my life. But then, you know, we get self-pitying and we get caught up in our little story, and that's not who we are. But the defining moments, the breakthrough moments, those are things that help us remember. It's in the remembering process that we evolve. It's in the remembering process that we self-realize who we really are, which is what I meant to say in the introduction, was infinite beings. I said limited yet infinite. I said finite, and I meant to say infinite. So that's going to have to change before the next show. And, you know, maybe I'll take out that bit about exile, because it's pretty melodramatic to make a statement like that. You know, you got to laugh at yourself sometimes, and you can't take yourself so seriously all the time. And I'm looking at myself, and I'm talking to myself here. It's, you know what? A preacher gives you knowledge, but a teacher gives you experience. And experience is something you cannot trade in. Not something you can replace. It's not something you can dismiss. You can only teach what you have experienced. In being with somebody in their final moments of life, even in the final weeks of their lives, when they were crying out in mercy, for mercy from God, for their suffering to be over. And then you couldn't help but pray for the person that they got their wish. You know, being a rookie priest, I was wondering why I had some of the thoughts I did. And I wondered why I was praying to God for Bob to have his wish, for the misery and the suffering to be over. And I felt guilty about that. In retrospect, I know that I had my breakthrough moment when I got up at 4 in the morning, and when I was up in my normal hours in the morning, and I went down to check on Bob, and I found myself doing things for him that I was scared to death to do. I didn't take a job because of the duties that he needed, the services he needed. I didn't take a job because I didn't want to do that for another human being. But I guess when you love that person, you're willing to. And again, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's only through love that you have that breakthrough moment. It's only through love that you are empowered to rise above your little self, your fearful self, the self that is limited, the self that places constraints upon itself, and the self that compensates through complexes and neuroses and of all sorts. I didn't want to keep you very long tonight. I know it's a new series, something to get used to. Get used to me again. You know, I had a meditation planned, a prayer, and an affirmation. I think what I really want to say tonight is that when you do allow yourself to be vulnerable, have the courage to do it, then you're unstoppable. You can tread on scorpions without being harmed. You can take in negativity from other people in the outside world, and then you can transmute that negativity into something positive and something uplifting and something heartfelt and something very powerful. You can turn negativity into a blessing. If you're able to smile while you're being cursed and love the person that is cursing you, then you've experienced a certain degree of liberation and freedom and grace. I think about choices. I think about relationships, people in my life, and we all take things for granted. It's not something we need to beat ourselves up about. It's just something we need to do something about. When we recognize that we're not giving something our all, we have to have the courage to kick ourselves in the pants and say, listen, get the job done. And I'm not talking about merit in excellence simply measured by productivity. I'm talking about being the presence, being the Christ. The only way you're going to do that is if you decrease. I've had to decrease a lot. It doesn't matter how many times I tell myself I'm not gonna do this or that or that. I'm not gonna make the same mistake again. We do it. The just man falls 7 times a day. And damn it, many of us, we feel we are just. I know at times I do. But rising above, transcending the limitations that we place upon ourselves, and ultimately that we cast out or we project out onto people, those limitations can be lifted. It takes the foundation of courage, and what we're going to talk about in coming weeks are other strong traits and qualities and aspects and fruits of the Spirit that we can integrate into our being and into our lives, in order to continuously free ourselves up to be that love, to be that presence, to be that mirror, to be that light, to be the instrument of mercy for somebody, the hand of blessing. the healer.
Best anecdote. Antidote. Not anecdote. Antidote. For fear is surrender. If you're willing to surrender to a higher power, doesn't mean you need to get down on your knees. You could be in the lotus pose, for goodness sakes. But whatever, it just, you need to humble yourself before the eternal, transcendent, divine and immanent, and just say, I need the strength. I need your help. I can't do this through my own volition. That's not weakness. To come to your knees or to prostrate yourself before the divine, whether literally or figuratively. Folks, I thank you for tuning in, and I thank you for listening to some of my personal connections with the theme and the various themes and things I've touched on. I didn't plan on keeping you very long tonight. I just wanted to welcome you to the series and to encourage you to think about your breakthrough moments and to think about the battles that you fight. I don't even mean between good and evil, so to speak, just so good and evil. I mean the battle we fight against ourselves, against our ego, against our pain body, against our complexes. To be free, we need to have awareness that there is a higher frequency or a higher consciousness at which we can calibrate at. And by having a visual model through people, through teachers, through mentors, you're able to rise out of the misery of your own making and to be elevated. That's why we need people. We're social creatures. We're a social animal, they say. We need people for well-being. And I'll be the first to admit, I've taken those things for granted. And I'm encouraging you not to do the same thing. So I send love, I send peace, warm wishes. Have a wonderful weekend upcoming, a wonderful Labor Day. Join me again next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on down the line. And thank you. God bless. Push love.